have as one of my guests the Honorable Merton D. Sampson of the Albany County Legislature for the 2nd District, right?
Yes.
Right. And Mert, so you just attended the NAACP community meeting. What's your view of that?
Well, of course, you know, meetings like this are always necessary, probably now more than, you know, any point in our lifetime because of the social conditions. And one of the things that people overlook is the macro view. You know, black people look at the condition that we're in now and don't recognize that the 500 years of global European domination is a radical departure from most of human history. You know, we see Black Panther and we think that, you know, this is, you know, a kind of science fiction. But we have to understand that the pyramids were built not by people from Europe, but by people from Africa. That if it weren't for the European colonial domination, there probably really could be a Wakanda. There actually are minerals that are similar to, you know, the minerals that were talked about theoretically in Black Panther. But also in terms of community, we have to understand that American culture has a fetish for violence. American culture, so we have, if you look at popular culture, what are the two of the most popular genres of entertainment? You know, gangsters and war movies and violence. We have a particular fetish for guns in this country. There are a lot of hunters in Canada, but they're probably more handgun shootings in the city of Albany than there are in all of Canada. It's a question of culture. The domination culture that this country was found on has a mindset that has metastasized into present situation today. So we have to understand that what we see today is not an aberration, but just a variation of the initial mindset that created this nation. What we have to do now, though, is go back to the values that existed when I was growing up. I'll be 64 years old this September 9th. So when I was coming up, we really did have the community as a village. But slowly over time, we've evolved to a point where now with social media, you know, children would be, instead of having a conversation like we're having now, they'd be sitting next to each other, texting each other. And that's their normal.
Mert, do you think that this form is a vehicle for really trying to resolve the question of violence in the community with guns?
It's a forum. The question is one of scope and you know, sustainability. And again, you have to go back to understand that, for example, black people and other people of color may be, let's just say, as much as between 15 and 30% of the population in Albany County. The last election for Albany County executive, the president of the county, you know, equivalent, less than 20% of the eligible voters voted. So that means if all the people of color are less than 30%, then it can't be just people of color, black people in particular, who are apathetic, who are turned off. What we have to understand is we are living in the decline of the West. Again, we have to go back and understand that this American experiment, this Western industrial technological development, is a recent development in terms of all of recorded history. But what we are experiencing right now before our eyes under the Trump administration, the actual rapid decline of Western European domination. And China is emerging as the global power of most significance. And Russia, although it has an economy that's equivalent to that of Italy, because they have nuclear weapons and because we have such a weak president, is able to exert disproportionate influence. So what we have to do as a people is be responsible and understand that voting is important, but more important than voting is taking care of our children. If all our children are conscious and productive citizens, then many of the problems that we have now wouldn't happen. We have to understand that, for example, this election of Donald Trump was as surprised as anybody else that he won the election. He didn't really want to win, but there are a series of individual things that came together to make a perfect storm. The fact that there's an electoral college that actually flipped, which was originally intended for the landed gentry, the men of property and influence to vote. The vote wasn't meant for the population. The Electoral College flipped that and gave the vote to people in smaller communities. Most people in this country live in either New York or California. And yet, these smaller communities that still are very openly racist, as you know, we just saw the anniversary of Charlottesville with the, you know, premiere of Spike Lee's latest film, The Black Klansman. We have to understand there's a connection between the decimation of the indigenous Indian population, the enslavement of African people, the takeover of the Hispanic community. The Mexicans didn't, pass the border. The border past the Mexicans. You know, all the Southwest was Mexico. But when Donald Trump made the excuse that they were meeting with the Russians for adoption, I knew that was a lie. And so all you have to do is look at Sessions wringing his hand and grinning in the most ghoulish fashion about the concept of young people being torn away from their families who are here for asylum and trying to conflate them with actually criminals. You know, what is actually happening with the immigrant population now, where you have 500 young children, some are under the age of five, that have been ripped apart from their family, is a question of a crime against humanity, and it's technically international child abduction.
So, Murray, what I want to ask you, too, how do we, I mean, you're given a lot of historical stuff, you know, and a lot of analysis things, but
the solution is to go back to what we know that works. The solution is to go back to the village. The solution is to have... I recommend that everybody read Carter G. Woodson's Miseducation of the Negro, because what it does is it shows that the socialization that it took to make Kunta Kinte say his name was Toby hasn't changed, and so the behavior in our community isn't going to change. We have to go back to the concept of the community as a village. We have to go back to the concept of teaching our children and having them ready for school before they get to school.
But how do we do that?
We do it by doing it. In other words, what we have to do is concentrate on the young people who come into this world as perfect learning machines. One of the most insidious things that I can't understand is how we stop teaching children cursive writing. You're legally responsible for signing your name, but you can't accidentally stop teaching an entire population how to sign their name. You have to make a conscious decision to do that. And so that is symbolic of a systematic effort to dumb down the entire population.
But remember, we live in a capitalist system.
A predator capitalist.
A predator capitalist system.
That's right.
That is about profit, money, not about human, you know, developing the human.
That's true.
Except to work, you know.
That's true. You're absolutely
so
correct.
So how do we go to our community and build our community based on that when
have to have a radical determination to conscientize our young people. Folks that are already adults, it's going to be very difficult to change their mind. Not that we don't reach out to them, and because if you focus on young people, they sometimes can even bring their families along. But you have to understand that children come into the world as perfect learning machines, and what's normal is what they're exposed to. Sadly, most people in the world are born and die in a 20-block radius. But, for example, I come out of Brooklyn and Queens, but my children were born in Albany. They're both very successful. When you model good behavior as a parent, genetics has a role in how people develop. But in whatever is determined to be normal in terms of somebody who doesn't have some kind of a psychological or biological malfunction, If proper behavior is modeled by parents, you have better than a 90% to 99% chance of producing good adults. If bad behavior or irresponsible behavior is the norm for people, that's the behavior that they implement. And so we have a president of the United States is probably the greatest criminal in the history of the world. If you look at the amount of money that Donald Trump is stealing, if you look at the instability he's creating in the world, he will probably go down in history as the most infamous criminal in the history of the world.
So much you think it's all about Donald Trump?
Donald Trump is a symptom of the problem. I'm just saying he's a symptom of how extreme the problem has devolved to. The issue of of what to do is simple. If every parent raises a healthy child, there won't be a problem. The people will be conscious enough to understand that by not voting, you're taking a bad situation and allowing it to be worse. So what we have now is people making a quasi-rational decision that government is not responsive to me, so why should I be involved? Well, the answer to that is, as bad as things are, things will get worse when you don't get involved. So we have to conscientize people. But again, I think you have to start with the youngest people who are ready to be molded, who want to learn, and that's difficult because we live in a transitional time of social media where children are raised by external forces. The family has broken down. So the period in which I grew up, it was a normal thing for people to have dinner on a nightly basis. That's a rare thing now.
Okay, but a lot of people say that about the government and raising good productive citizens. Mm-hmm. I mean, we look at what Obama was elected president, and they look at massive or major changes came about when Obama became president. And they're saying that, well, we could get politicians, black politicians in office, but they don't have power to make any changes.
Well, no individual can transform an entire society, but certainly we can see that one individual, if you juxtapose the trajectory of the country when Obama came in, he actually took us out of the throes of a major almost depression, whereas you have the instability under this administration. So no, the president of the United States doesn't have the power that people think he might, but he certainly has a significant amount of power. And again,
but it's not just the president.
Well, the whole government.
I mean, we're talking about elected officials.
Right? Yeah.
Well,
here's the thing. It's one thing to vote. It's something else to support the people that you vote for. First of all, again, you have to go back to the concept of the politicians are public servants. They represent us. But you can't expect any politician to do for your child what you don't do from birth to age five. So it starts with individual responsibility of parents in a family and a community. And so for example, the United States military has a zero tolerance policy for sexual harassment. And when John Kerry was involved, he certainly is a committed person, but organizational culture defies limited leadership. What you have to have is a cultural change, and that comes in terms of movements. Marcus Garvey taught us that we have to agitate, educate, and organize, and that's what we have to do now.
But when Malcolm said that we got to have a radical change, that we need a revolution.
For example, this election coming up is a very important election, and the one in 2020 will be even more important, because right now we have a president that's irresponsibly, ignorantly teetering us towards fascism. And yet, one of the most significant features is the Congress, who does not hold him accountable. We have never had a Congress this irresponsible.